Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
14 years in the NBA, we do not get regular guests in studio, so we rejoice when we do. The great Jim Jackson, Fox Sports analyst. I was saying this. So a few years ago, the Cubs won the World Series, and they had a bunch of young players. Theo Epstein took over, and they got a bunch of good young players. They won the World Series. The next year, they come back. Everybody's feeling pretty good about themselves. Mm-hmm. They're still really good, but there's an urgency about right before you win the title.
Right.
And then you win the title. Everybody wants a little more money, a little more credit. In fact, Pat Riley calls it the disease of, what is it called? The disease of
more
credit, more money, more me. And I look at the Suns team. If you give all these guys a title and a couple of them big checks, they're good guys.
Mm-hmm.
They want to listen to Chris Paul barking at them all the time. Could I argue this is the year for Phoenix? It's perfect. They need him.
Mm-hmm.
He's there. He can bark. They'll listen. You give these guys a title, it may not be the same room next year.
No, you know what? I would agree with you if the team was a little bit older, maybe. But I think the makeup of this Phoenix Suns team based around James Jones, okay? Sarver kind of allowing James to mold the roster that makes sense. With Monty, the respect that they have for Monty Williams as a coach, as a father, as a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
The voice that he has in the locker room is huge. It's tremendous to why this team has grown so much. And then the respect that this young team has for Chris Paul to be able to get them to that level if they win a championship. I don't think that changes the dynamics of who they are, because this chemistry that this Suns team has is what people are looking for, which is young men who play their role and don't try to go outside of it.
Right.
A Cam Johnson understands what he needs to do. A Mikal Bridges, even though he's still growing as a player and maturing, he understands. You have Crowder, older, vet, legit, gets it. Ayton understands his role. It's okay. Devin Booker can do his thing.
Yeah.
He can be the star. I'm a fill in it. So I don't think you'll have that even if they don't win it. I think guys still respect, the front office, management, coaches, and most of all CP.
Sometimes it does help too. This is interesting that Booker is seen as the scorer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, last night Ayton must have had like 18, 20 rebounds.
Right.
If you got a designated scorer, like the Celtics and Bird, Mikal was great, but Larry took the shot.
That's right.
Booker's going to take the shot.
Mm-hmm.
Could I argue that what really makes this team viable for years and years to come is they all understand who takes the shot?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's something, right?
It does. It'll change a little. I think the better that Mikal Bridges gets, he'll be more involved in taking the shot. But right now, it's CP or it's Devin that's going to take the shot.
Right.
Now, what happens in the future is, CP3, how long does that last in regards to him being able to play at this level? Because you figure he probably will opt out of his contract this year and ask for an extension, maybe another 3 years. So out of those 3 years, how viable is he going to be like this for two out of those 3 years or one out of those 3 years? You don't know. So the future is not, future is the present. They have to do something now. Now where it goes from here, they have to build something. Is Cameron Payne the guy that's going to lead you post CP3? You don't know. Those are the questions that you got to answer once this season is over for Phoenix.
Yeah, it's would you take less if you were Chris to play with this unit for 3 years and not move anymore?
Well, it's less from so I think he's supposed to make $44 million next year.
Right.
But if say you do a 3 year deal, $100+ million, okay, you're guaranteed. Yes, it's less than $44 million you'll make in that 1 year, but you have an extension of 2 years, you're gonna make $60 more million.
Right.
And you're playing with a franchise that you know will always be able to compete. You're in a great city, great training staff. All those things factor in. So if I'm CP, I'm looking at it like year 16. Oh, man, I can float into year 19. Another 3 year deal. I'm good to go.
I know it's only one game, but Phoenix has done this now. This is the fourth team where they just take a lead, they take control, they set the pace. Milwaukee's still in it, right? Like, I watched them last night, and I thought, oh, they're going to win a game or two.
Oh, yeah. You still got to go back to Milwaukee.
Yeah.
I mean, don't discount. Now, look, Phoenix, I think a lot of times people overreact because game one, Phoenix was able to dominate. Milwaukee made their run and came back.
Yeah.
But Phoenix held them off. Well, Phoenix was supposed to. They're at home. You're supposed to take care of home court. Now, Milwaukee has a great opportunity to win game two. So, if you're the road team, it doesn't matter if you win game one or game two. You won one on the road. That's what counts. So now you make your minor adjustments on what you need to do to your game plan and figure out ways that you can win the next game. So now home court shifts to you, meaning the Bucks, and you can go home and take care of business. That's the mindset you got to have.
It's interesting because the Suns do a lot of pick and roll. Chris Paul's great at it. Milwaukee didn't adjust terribly well. You know, it's very rare that a team gets to the championship, and I question, are they well coached?
Yeah.
Is the criticism, I mean, when I watch Milwaukee, my takeaway is you're getting beat at something, change it, or do they just not have the personnel in that pick and roll to defend it?
Well, here's the problem. The league is a copycat league because you play drop coverage, meaning that on that pick and roll, a lot of times Lopez will drop back, okay, forcing the point guard to come to you, or it's an all-out switch. I think the difference is when you play drop coverage, it's to prevent a quicker guard to get by you who may be an inconsistent shooter a lot of times, and you want to force him to shoot. Well, Chris Paul is neither one of those. Chris Paul is not going to blow by you, but if he gets to 15 feet, he's going to beat you every time. So you have to, you can't play the same kind of coverage with a Chris Paul that maybe you would play with a Dennis Schroeder or Russell Westbrook because they're two different kind of players.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting to see what Mike Budenholzer does in regards to the pick and roll. Making adjustments is this. Sometimes there's a switch that doesn't have to be a switch because it's a brush screen. So don't switch. Keep your best defender in front of Chris Paul. Easier said than done while we're both sitting here than on the court. But those are the little minor details that you got to look at when you're breaking down film of how to play in particular, not what you did all year, but how you defend Chris Paul.
Now, Milwaukee's an old team. Phoenix is a very, very young team. Mm-hmm. Did you ever play on a team, a really, really old or a really, really young team?
What was young team?
Which one?
You know, when I was with Dallas, my second year, we were young. We weren't that good. I mean, we won 13 games. I mean, you know what I mean? it was not old team, probably more mature when I was with Sacramento. C-Webb, Vladi, Doug Christie.
What's the difference?
Oh, just the maturity part, understanding how to play the game. I mean, it's just, you know, you go into a game knowing your roles, responsibilities. Rick Adelman was an outstanding player coach from a communication perspective. And knowing that guys understood in the moment how to perform, okay? When you're young, you're still trying to figure out the game itself, who you are as a player. It's just like when you're a young adult, you're still trying to figure out who you are and what impact you want to have on society, whatever you're doing. When you're young in the league in any sport, you want to prove that you can play. When you get older, you didn't prove that already. Now it's all about winning. And that's the difference when you're on an older team. And I think that's what CP brought to the table, was the mentality of he may not have won a championship, but he's been there. And he understands what it takes to kind of get to that next level, along with, I think, what Monty Williams has done has been phenomenal.
We knew Milwaukee had a chance to be here. Was there a moment in the regular season you watched Phoenix and thought, wow, this team's really, really good?
Yeah. I mean, I had a couple of times when, of course, covering the Clippers.
Right. You know, so, okay, let's go back to the first time you saw him this year with the Clippers.
I was just like, this is a different makeup. Young talent, you got to figure out who's going to be what. Ayton is comfortable in his role. But just listening to Monty talk to me. And then during the year, you know, covering games with Turner, we had Phoenix a couple times. And just listening to Monty, just his demeanor across the board, not too high, not too low, and how his players respond to him. Colin, you've been around this in professional sports. Guys got egos, okay? It's hard to coach that, okay? It's hard for, especially in the league, guys that make so much money to respect who's on the bench and really buy into that philosophy. That's not the case with Phoenix. Because they respect Monty Williams so much as a man first and foremost that whatever it takes to get done, they're going to do it for him. And to me, when I saw that happening, plus the maturity of their young players have gotten better, I was like, oh, this Phoenix team, is it a fluke? They're winning, is it? But they maintained it all. It wasn't a big drop-off.
Yeah, and you know, to the credit, they did the opposite of load management. They elected to play every game.
Yeah.
And their chemistry is fantastic.
Well, why wouldn't they? I mean, they're young. I mean, CP3, with him changing his diet and his mental frame and his body allowed him to compete and play at a high level.
Yeah, he has changed, hasn't he?
Wait, I think he – did he go vegan all the way? I think he might have.
Hasn't not a lot of injuries last 2 years.
No, think about it. And his body composition, he looks different. He looks quicker, more stamina, okay, because he needed to do that. And think about it. Now if he gets a chance to win it, now you can sit in the room with LeBron and D-Wade.
And have a steak and a cigar and not worry about it.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
You can be vegan and have a day off. You have a day off of work. Can you have a day off of vegan?
I don't think
Joy, you don't think so?
I don't know if that's how
really?
It works.
Really?
What if it's an impossible beef steak? What about that?
I think if it's a diet choice, then yes. If it's like a lifestyle choice, then
okay.
No, I don't
think. But what about the cigar? Does that doesn't count for vegan.
I'm pretty sure cigars are vegan.
My boy Lonzo Mourning is quote-unquote vegan. He has some cigars.
Okay.
Bro. So I can do
like
that.
Like, you can take a day off from...
I'm saying, if it's a commitment, like it's a lifestyle that you feel convicted about.
Yeah, but I my lifestyle, I work out every day. I still eat.
No.
But could
like,
you
like,
be
like
a,
you're
could
trying
you
to
be
like,
a
save
vegan?
The animals, or if you're just doing it for a diet, I think there's two different
things.
Well,
yeah, but if chickens were as big as us and we were as big as chickens, they would peck our heads and eat us.
But let me ask you a question. Could you go without actually meat?
No.
No.
Okay, me neither. I don't eat as much beef as I used to. I don't eat pork. That's 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But not being able to have some turkey or chicken or something like that.
I had a hamburger yesterday. It was delicious.
What?
I had a hamburger 2 days ago.
Did you?
Fat burger.
I'm
large.
For veganism, just not for me.
Not for me. Go for it.
Yeah.
I got to have it.
Yeah. And the cigar.
And the cigar.
All right, Jim. Great right. Seeing you.
Thank you.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is The Herd Line News.
Have you had Fat Burger yet, Colin?
I've had Herd Burger. I had one yesterday.
That's true. That's
unbelievably good. Not just because I'm part owner.
Yes.
Fantastic.
The Herd that gave it away.
And we have boozy milkshakes. Sorry.
Ooh.
If you haven't had a vodka milkshake, you have
oh,
not
Oh, my
lived.
Man. Now
no,
we're
you
talking.
Have not lived.
Hmm.
Oh, they're unbelievable.
Someone who's probably not having vodka milkshakes right now is Chris Paul. He waited a long time for his first NBA Finals appearance and had a great 32.9 assist performance in Game 1. And obviously the Suns players have been speaking very highly of Chris Paul all postseason. And Devin Booker was singing his teammates' praises once again last night.
Chris Paul's been—he's been a bucket, man. I mean, he obviously, you know, he gets his team involved. He is the greatest leader, you know, to play this game. But he's been a bucket for a very long time, and you know, in my 6 years of playing against him, or 5 years of playing against him, you understand that. You know, there's no scouting report that says Chris Paul can't get a bucket.
He
is a grown-up. Look at that.
I know.
That is a way. By the way, all you quarterbacks out there. Dressed like Devin
Did
Booker.
I admitted I noticed that he had a suit on.
He looked like
I don't
a
care
total,
if he has a suit on or not.
He looked like a grown-up.
He looked very sophisticated.
Very sophisticated.
But basketball, like, I don't know.
I don't know. Michael Jordan wore a suit every game. He set the tone.
Whoa. Was that the time when you had to wear suits?
No. I mean, my wife always says this. You want to go out tonight, set the tone. Devin Booker walks into that locker room with that suit. This is a business.
I don't know what I would do if someone was taking me out and they showed up in a suit.
No. I'm just saying what he's doing by coming into the locker room dressed like that, he is setting the tone.
No, it's serious
times.
This
is business.
It's serious times. It's not not just, middle of the season, regular season game. This is the real deal. Well, Chris Paul is playing like it's the real deal. He really, like, watching Chris Paul, he's like, I'm not... Like Antoine said, like, he's emptying the clip. He is not leaving anything in the tank, whatever cliche you want to use that you feel comfortable with. But you can sense it with Chris Paul. He's like, yeah. I'm not going to let us lose. The Suns are favored by 5 in game 2, according to Fox Bet.
Wow.
I do think that Milwaukee's going to play a little better in game 2.
Yeah, I would take the Bucks +5 there.
Yeah. So Andre Drummond is a free agent after finishing last season with the Lakers. His future in L.A. is uncertain, as there's a lot of people in L.A. right now. But he seemed to take a shot at Frank Vogel regarding his playing time on Instagram. Someone left a comment on his Instagram saying, I wish you could only dominate the paint like Lopez and Ayton, like for real. And Drummond responded with, tell y'all coach Clay me more, and I could.
Is that a... Oh, boy. Is that a... I've been told the Laker locker room is interesting.
I Montrezl have also heard Harrell, that the Dennis. Laker locker room is interesting. Now, there's not so much hot seats in as much as it's like...
Just interesting.
It's just a little prickly right now.
That's right.
Which, listen, you lose in the first round, it should be a little prickly.
Especially
like, if you have
Lakers.
Expectations, then yeah. That's how it goes. Yeah. And they need to make some moves. Andre Drummond's a free agent. I think there's going to be a very different roster
for
the Lakers next year. But that probably didn't help if he was planning on staying. So the Browns finally found some success last season, winning their first playoff game in 26 years. And now they have some very high expectations for them this year. But in an interview during the match last night, Baker Mayfield said the Browns aren't listening to what anyone outside the organization thinks.
We've definitely had a lot of conversations about, you know, expectations come within our own locker room. You know, you set your own standards. You can't listen to the outside stuff. And that's what matters, because you can feed into the good stuff or the bad, and it's all going to negatively affect you. So we have to do a good job of, you know, keeping our guys focused one day and one week at a time.
He looks trimmed down. I like that. Looks in shape. He got puffy a couple years ago. He looks good.
Well, you know, I think guys go through different phases
That's
throughout
right.
their career.
Yeah.
I mean, Chris Paul, we were just talking about, allegedly went vegan. Some you try different things affect different people's bodies differently.
Yeah.
And it does take some time, I think, especially once you get to the pro level and your body changes, to find out what you're supposed to eat and do and what your routine is. And Baker's obviously still a very young player.
Yeah.
I'm really, really interested in the Browns this season.
Same.
I sold my stock on them last year. It was a year too early. And I mean, they went 6-10 in 2019, 11-5 last year.
Yeah.
Obviously demolished the Steelers in the wild card game and then lost in the divisional round to the Chiefs. But they have one of the most talented rosters in the league on paper.
Yeah.
Generally, that on paper thing means it's not 100% there, but they should take a step up this year. And I do think Baker playing for his contract will make things interesting for him.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. Urgency.
Yeah.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
Herd brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs. Be a sub above. Dana White around the corner.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Marino. And I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Marino. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, the Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card into your first year automatically, no limit. Discover.com/yes. He's the president, outspoken president of USC, Dana White, friend of the show. They've got a great fight this weekend. Dustin Poirier takes on Conor McGregor. It's a trilogy bout, lightweight trilogy bout. Will the winner get a shot at the champ? Let's bring on Dana White, who is live from his war room at UFC. All right, so this is interesting because there were two different fights. These guys don't waste a lot of time. There's animosity. You know, Poirier could have fought other fighters. Why did he choose Conor McGregor? What?
Yeah.
Did he come to you?
No, well, there was a lot of criticism of him for taking this fight. He's the number one ranked guy in the world.
Right.
He could have fought for the title. He's done it all. He's been there. He's fought for it all. He's been around for a long time. You take the money fight. You absolutely, positively take the money fight. He's the number one ranked guy in the world. If he beats Conor on Saturday night, he fights for the title anyway. And so many more people know who he is after Saturday night. He did the right thing.
Is Conor, I mean, I like Dustin to win this fight. I think he's more in his physical peak. Does Conor have a shot? I mean, if I was Conor McGregor, my thing is I don't want to go later rounds. I'm going to be aggressive the first moment I'm in the octagon. That would be, but you know this industry better than me. What do you foresee is the fight? What will it look like?
What? I think that's the big story of this fight. You know, there's no secret that Conor McGregor has made tons of money. And, this kid does things that only the 1% are doing in the world. Is he hungry enough this Saturday to try to, you know, take another title run? And can he beat Dustin Poirier? That's sort of the narrative of this fight.
You know, tell me the first moment with Conor, Dana, the very first moment that you knew, because you scout for a living. You're like a baseball scout. You're constantly looking for the next Conor. When was the moment or the press conference you were like, or the workout that you went, we got a star in our hands?
Well, I was in Ireland one time, and everybody was coming up to me talking about Conor McGregor. So when I got back from Ireland, I talked to my matchmakers, and they're like, "Yeah, we know who he is, and we were interested in him and signing him." I met with him, had dinner with him. When I left that dinner, I called Lorenzo Fertitta and said, "Let me tell you what. I don't know if this kid can fight, but if he can even throw a punch, he's going to be a huge star." This kid had personality for days, and I liked him. Then he started fighting, and he looked good, man. You don't know if a guy can go all the way and win a world title. Very few people can actually do that, and Conor did it.
What makes Dustin Poirier as good as he is? Is it a toughness? Is it a skill? Because, you know, Dana, I watch a lot of your fighters. Some guys have different personalities. Conor's hyper-aggressive. What makes Dustin great?
Yeah, it's both, actually. You know, this is a kid that has grinded and worked his way up to the top. Nothing was ever handed to him. He's earned everything that he's got. And he's down there in Florida training with savages. I mean, this guy hasn't made the money that a Conor McGregor has made. So this guy's still in there grinding and working hard.
If Conor won, would you give him a shot at the title?
Yeah, if Conor wins on Saturday, he'll get a shot at the title. If Dustin wins on Saturday, he'll get a shot at the title.
Could Conor and Nate Diaz is probably top two or three fighters. There's something about Nate Diaz. I don't think we share anything in common the way we see the world, but I find him to be, he's such a unique, combative guy. And I think to myself, I think I told you this before, the Conor-Nate Diaz second fight, to me, was Frazier Ali. It was one of the great nights I've ever had with buddies watching a fight. Could Conor and Nate ever fight again?
Yeah, people love the Diaz brothers. And that Conor-Nate fight's always out there. I mean, we could do that anytime, and people are going to want to watch that fight.
When you negotiate with Conor to do fights, is it different? Is it difficult? Because he is such a big star.
Not really. You know what I mean? I mean, listen, Conor has his moments and Conor has his little things. But at the end of the day, Conor's a damn good businessman. And Conor and I have always done business.
Yeah, you have. For you at this fight Saturday night at the T-Mobile Arena in Vegas, that's home for you. When you have a Conor fight, is it different to prepare for from a security standpoint? I mean, he is such a rock star. It's a lot like Michael Jordan, Dana. You know that. You remember when Michael Jordan would come to town and face the Celtics. It was different. It's like U2 coming to town. When Conor fights, is it more stressful on you? What is it like to be part of that?
Yeah, we have to beef up in a lot of different areas on a lot of different things. I don't know if you saw the footage the other day. But he was in Newport Beach, and he walked out of a restaurant. He had just had dinner. And the amount of people that were outside that found out he was in there having dinner, and they were literally chasing him down the street in his car. mobs, feel like the Beatles type stuff. So, yes, he's a massive superstar. And I actually just posted something on my Instagram yesterday. The impact that Conor McGregor has on this city when he comes here to fight. And it's not just us saying it. We had all the top guys from all the casinos. One of the guys that deals with the flights that come in and out of here and how many private planes are parked in Vegas when Conor McGregor fights, the bets, it's just they take over the city.
If I said to you, go back to the first, I remember when you guys bought this in the Fertittas for $12 million, and it was, I went to a network I worked at, and I said, you guys got to start televising this stuff. All my buddies in Vegas and L.A., they don't watch boxing as much, they watch UFC. Go back to the genesis of this sport. If I said to you, three or four most important fighters, is Conor one of them?
Oh, 100%. 100%, one of the most important fighters in the history of the company. Chuck Liddell, Ronda Rousey, Conor McGregor, George St. Pierre.
Have you ever gotten into an argument with Conor and you thought it could get physical?
No, never. He lives in Ireland.
I know, but he's feisty. Dana, he's feisty. He's a feisty guy.
Yeah, no, he's you know, you see that some of the things that he's done outside of the octagon, but he's not like that at all. And believe me and Connor have absolutely positively butted heads and didn't see eye to eye and didn't agree on a few things, but it's never been like that. It's actually, he's been a joy to work with, and you know, any of the things that, you know, for instance, the things that drive me crazy about Connor is showing up late. When he shows up late to press conferences and he shows up late to the weigh-ins and things like that, because we have time set with these networks and things like that.
Right.
Other than things like that, Connor McGregor is not bad to work with.
Yeah, I'm not a whiskey drinker. Is his whiskey any good?
Yeah. I actually do. That scene right there, I think, it was the Khabib fight. The Khabib press conference, he gave me a shot of it, and yeah, it was actually good. I liked it.
They're fighting Saturday. It's Vegas. This is the trilogy. This is the third fight. I like Dustin to win. I think he's younger in his peak, but Connor's always wild and fun, and go buy it. Dana, it's great seeing you again.
Good to see you too. Thanks, brother.
You bet. Listen, Connor fights are must-watch. They're must-watch, period.
They are.
Because first of all, you're either rooting for him or against him. Nobody's indifferent to Conor McGregor. You're for him or against him.
He's very polarizing, but that's half of the fight game. It's why everybody screaming and hollering about all these celebrity fights and like how they're bad for the sport. Like what, how? Half of the UFC and boxing sport is selling the fight. If there's nothing interesting about it, why are you watching?
No, I think you and I have said this. If the late Muhammad Ali fought today, he would be richer than Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods. He would literally break. Like Floyd Mayweather doesn't even have a huge personality in the pay-per-view world.
And people claim to not like to watch his fights because they're
and they break every record.
Yeah,
you would get Ali was Conor McGregor. No, he wasn't anything. He was.
I think Muhammad Ali was the most impactful athlete of all time. Do you remember watching his funeral?
Oh, my God. First of all, he looked like Jordan. Like, he was a captivating guy to look at. He had a great smile, big personality, good looking. Then you get the personality of a little Charles Barkley, like would say anything. Then you got, he was a little bit of a poet. He could riff and rhyme, and he was like, it was like pre-Snoop. I mean, he could Biggie Smalls. Like, he could say stuff. You're like, that's rhythmic. That's poetic. I remember when I was a kid, he was on Wide World of Sports, and I can remember watching it with my dad. There was nothing like him. He would go after Howard Cosell, and he'd bring Wilt Chamberlain on, and there was nothing like him. So when you get Connor and you get this personality, it's like there's a reason he keeps fighting. These pay-per-view numbers are unbelievable. All right, tanklessmadesimple.com, tanklessmadesimple.com. Check them out, Navien tankless water filter, save money and space. And go to mdriveformen.com, free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee. It boosts some natural testosterone levels. So Joy and I, it's July, and so we're off the next couple of days.
Yes.
All right, so enjoy the Suns tomorrow night. Joy's going to, you know where Joy's going. She's going to Ecuador, or somewhere 19 flights away. We'll both be back Monday.
Yes.
Great week. Getting some time off for a few days. It's the Herd.